Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. My name is Keith Tiede. I have the weekly New Media Central podcast. This week I'm talking about trends, concerning trends. Trends that make me feel a little squeamish. I think it's a wrong turn for this country to be going down the path it's going down. What I talk about is we have to find leaders that can lead this country, and we also have to work our tail feathers off, work hard to get back to where we were. We had a fantastic thing going on in this country, and we're losing it. I mean, it's not too late. It's getting close, and this election in November is going to be a huge turning point. We have to have it come out the way we need it to. Otherwise, we're going to do the same thing that so many other countries have done in the past, which is raised to great dominance, raised to great socioeconomic splendor. Everybody was happy. We had a giant middle class, and it was wonderful. A lot of people were happy about what was going on in their lives and what was going on in the country. That's changing. We got to make sure we change it back. Also, I want to apologize for a couple of Sundays on the last 2 months. I skipped doing the podcast, and it's not because I'm lazier or I just didn't get her done. It's because I had a lot of stuff going on. I know it's not an excuse, but I had a lot of stuff going on. I did some extensive traveling, and I had a lot of things I had to take care of. So I apologize for that. It's not going to happen very often. From time to time, I just may not get one of the weekly podcasts out there. I wish I had someone to fill in for me when I'm not going to do it, but I'm not at that point yet. So you have to skip a week with me. Also, I wanted to talk about next week. I have a kind of a doom and gloom podcast this week, and I don't know if you've noticed, but I like to try to switch back and forth. It's not a flip-flop in my ideology. It's nothing like that at all. I believe we have two futures ahead of us. One that's going to be super cool, expressly excellent. And we also have a possibility of one that's not so cool. And so what you'll see on my podcast is a lot of them are going to be doom and gloom because that's what bothers me and that's what I am passionate about talking about. But from time to time, I'll mix in some really positive ones, as is the example for next week. I know we have a positive future in this country, or at least the possibility. It's up to us. We got to elect the right people to lead this country, and we have to work our tail feathers off to get it back. We had a joint effort in this country for a long time. We had to, first of all, tame the country, which is a huge task. It took a long time. And then we became a superpower. That's awesome, but it takes a lot of effort. So we had the unity of working together on a lot of stuff. And we've gotten to the point now where there's so much stuff that we don't have to work together. As a matter of fact, it kind of splintered us. We have so much stuff available to us now. United we stand, divided we fall. It's going to be the truth forever. And right now we're not united. We're divided, and so we're falling. We have to get united again. And that's something I'm going to be talking about next week in the podcast. It's our new moonshot. And I'm not going to say any more about it because it's a secret. I'm working on it now. I haven't actually recorded it yet, but it's going to be pretty good. Make you feel good about being an American and being a human. So enjoy this week. It's not all that enjoyable. There's a lot of things that are revealed that everybody knows about already, but it just brings it back up again. But also remember that next week, we're going to have a positive, make us feel better about this stuff. A concerning trend I've noticed is a pervasive decline in many aspects of our lives. I remember in the 1960s when shopping areas, especially during Christmas, were beautifully decorated. A trip to the shopping district was a special occasion, something for which we would save our money for months in advance for. The experience was marked by exceptional service, with attendants treating customers like royalty. Shopping was a rare treat, not a regular activity. However, businesses soon realized the profitability of encouraging more frequent shopping. They began pushing consumers to spend as if it were Christmas all year round, and it was fueled by television advertising. As two-income households became the norm, these shopping trips became more frequent. But with this shift, the quality of service began to decline. The once luxurious shopping experience was replaced with a facade of glitz that now feels fake and cheap. The focus has shifted to bargain hunting, and the glamour no longer matches the bargain basement mentality. This has led to an increase in online purchases, where the store is just a small screen and there's no seasonal shopping. We buy now when the whim hits us. Retailers love this. It's so easy to grab your phone and place an order leading to impulse buying. Is this good or bad? Well, I hope we don't totally eliminate brick-and-mortar stores. However, I have envisioned a brick-and-mortar store becoming showrooms where you can see and touch products before you buy them. And when you've made your decision to buy, you just push a button beside the product that you want, and the product shipped to your house, and your credit cards gets debited. It seems convenient, but it leads to privacy issues. Another trend that is driving me crazy is the reduction in personal face-to-face interactions due to digital communication methods. Currently, we keep our focus on the little screen in our hands, even when there's someone standing right next to us. Humans have an innate desire to have personal connections, and staying focused on the little screen rather than talking to the person next to you is against nature. I don't think I'm the only one who's gotten exasperated by having a conversation with someone interrupted by that person's phone ringing, and they instantly change focus, beginning a new conversation with the caller and leaving you hanging. It's like they're saying, "F you, you're boring. I would rather talk to the person calling on my phone." The decrease of physical cash in favor of digital payments and electronic transaction is leading to a cashless society. It's convenient, but it's scary. The upside is not having to carry any cash. It's like you have all your purchasing power at your fingertips at all times without having to go to the bank to restock. In addition, a pickpocket would not be able to take your cash if you're not carrying any. This is also the downside, because digital currency makes us vulnerable to cyber attacks, hacking, and fraud. Data breaches and identity theft can result in financial losses and privacy violations. Also, digital currency leaves us more dependent on technology working properly, which we all know doesn't happen. System outages, technical glitches, or power failures can disrupt digital payment systems, making it difficult to complete transactions and potentially causing economic disruptions. Cash transactions offer anonymity that digital transactions do not. This loss of anonymity can lead to increased scrutiny of personal spending habits and potentially infringe on personal freedoms. The erosion of personal privacy due to increased data collection and surveillance is very troubling to me. It is exactly why, among other things, that I don't want a cashless society. I'm an open book with most things in my life, but some things are nobody's business but my own. I have a great analogy for how I feel about this. You know, when you go to the bathroom, everybody knows what you're doing in there, but I don't want everybody watching me do it. I don't want anybody watching me do it. It's private. Our currency has these words printed on every bill. Quote, "This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private." And it's evidence that for years we felt privacy very near and dear to our hearts. The tyrants who are creating a world where no one has any privacy would have you believe that it's okay to live like that. Like it's no big deal to have Big Brother watching your every move and recording it. It's not good. We need the ability to have privacy in every area of our lives if we want it. If we want to have a conversation with a friend, we shouldn't have to worry whether someone is listening or not. We should be able to go for a drive in a car and not worry that others know exactly where we went and for how long and exactly how fast we were going to get there. Long-term commitments are also going away. For years, you could get a job and reasonably expect that you would have that job for the rest of your life. The only place you can have that expectation now is working for the government. The average duration of a job now is about 4 years. That erodes confidence in our ability to purchase things like cars and houses on time by not knowing if you're going to be employed. Our commitment to marriage is also on the decline. When I was growing up, people didn't get divorced. They figured out a way to make it work, even when times got tough. The average duration of a marriage now is 12.9 years. The nucleus family is becoming non-existent, and that erodes our confidence to raise a family. This explains in part the fact that in 1960, American women had, on average, 3.6 children. In 2023, that dropped to 1.62, well below the replacement rate of 2.1. I've also noticed a decline in the maintenance of our highways. Not long ago, interstate signs were always in good condition, a standard we took for granted. Today, many signs are lying on the ground or unreadable due to neglect. This decline reflects a broader issue, a lack of work ethic and accountability. Government coddling has led to a workforce that expects pay and benefits without any effort. This inefficiency is costing taxpayers dearly, yet the quality of services continues to deteriorate. This activity is slipping into the private sector also, especially when considering low-wage workers. It's become common for people to be hired with the hope that they will contribute something productive, but increasingly, if they choose not to put forth any effort, they don't, and nothing gets done. This erosion of work ethic is a serious problem because essential tasks are being left undone, leading to a significant downgrade in our quality of life. Politicians have started telling us that this decline is the new normal and that we must accept a lower socioeconomic status. That's nonsense. We control what we get for our efforts, and we express this control through how we spend our money. We must rethink our spending habits to regain control of our lives. If we continue to spend as we're encouraged to, we relinquish our power and allow others to dictate our lives. We need to return to a merit-based society where hard work is rewarded, not penalized. If we do that successfully, the work ethic in this country will rise substantially. While giant corporations, wealthy individuals, and governments may seem powerful, the collective economic power of the general public is much greater. For example, American public's combined net worth is about $455 trillion. That dwarfs even the wealthiest companies and individuals, even if you combine them all. Money drives change, whether we like it or not. To reclaim our country, we must unite our resources and assert our influence. The recent boycott of Budweiser over their controversial advertising campaign is a perfect example of our power. By collectively deciding where we spend our money, we can bring even the largest corporations to their knees. We need to continue this trend and use social networks to organize and amplify our efforts. Boycotts are incredibly powerful when we stand united, and through this unity, we can take back control and demand a society that rewards hard work and integrity. There are a lot of things that are going in the wrong direction in this country and in this world. There are many explanations of why that is. One possibility is because we've had the burden of living under the threat of nuclear annihilation our whole lives. We may be assuming a posture of not caring about anything because we're only one crazy despot away from the world ending. On the other hand, there are a lot of good things going on in this country. My podcast for next week is a flip-flop on this week's dire warnings. We could have an infinite number of wonderful things and experiences in our lives, and I believe we will. But it won't happen by accident. We must choose our leaders carefully and put forth the effort to get there. If we pick the right leadership and work our tail feathers off, then we stand an excellent chance, by order of magnitude, of having the best life experiences in all of history. With the exception of a few, we all want this. We don't want a planet where only a small number of people own everything and the rest of us barely survive. It could truly go either way. My greatest wish is that we as a nation and as a planet realize this sooner rather than later so that we don't have to go through a massive unbalance and suffer a great deal. I will keep the ball rolling using my podcast, reminding people that we have to work hard to stave off the impending explosion of dramatic decreases in our privacy and the lifestyles and creature comforts that we've become accustomed to. Love and faith and a positive attitude will take us a long way toward an unending, beautiful experience on this incredible planet. Let's start taking the baby steps now that we know we need to.